in the 60s, late 60s, with the Six-Day War. There was an outstanding outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And in 1974, during the 70s, there was one of the most outrageous outpourings of the Holy Ghost that the world has ever seen. And right now, when you're getting this movement with Israel and the players are beginning to take their places, you'll always have a corresponding move in the Holy Ghost. Now, be ready for that, because on the job or with your friends or in your family, you're going to begin to see a heightened interest, and you're going to begin to see doors opening in areas where you might not have seen them before. And it's all associated with that prophecy. But before we do that, let's talk about some announcements. Tonight there's a youth meeting in the prayer room after church, and this Friday night at 7 o'clock, the kids choir is going to meet, and I guess, Sister Bonnie, that'll be right here in the sanctuary. Okay, so we're going to crank up the children's choir again. This Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we have a prayer breakfast. And the prayer breakfast is like anything else we do around here. It's evangelistic. And so you can bring people to the prayer breakfast. Now, don't tell them it's a work day also. Just bring them to the prayer breakfast, and then they'll figure out it's a work day, and maybe we'll pick up some new hands. But we have on schedule a prayer breakfast and a work day for Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. The mechanical team needs to meet tonight after service, and we need to talk about what our plan will be for Saturday morning. Also, if you plan on being here for that prayer time and that work day, if you have a few hours to join up and help with a crew that's going to be doing a project, go back to the prayer room tonight, meet with Brother Joe and Brother Bart and all the members of the mechanical team. This week, we intend to target some of our elders' homes and some of our folks in the church that have needs that are not able to get to those needs. And if we can send a 3 or 4-man crew out to some of these jobs, that'll be wonderful. That'll be an awesome day and a very, very powerful thing in the Holy Ghost for us to do. So you need to get back there tonight and find out what our plans are. And also, that'll help you know what tools to bring, what supplies we need to get, so we'll be all ready to roll for Saturday morning. Praise the Lord. also, there's going to be a meeting tonight, I guess in the conference room, for the planning of a block party. July the 29th, which is a Saturday, we're going to take a block party down to the Alton Road area, and we're going to try to shake up the neighborhood down there. We'll take some music and some food and some outreach, and we'll do what we did in Center Point and see if we can't stir up some activity for the bus. Everybody say praise the Lord. And it's amazing the doors that will open up. We're still having people come to church from that block party in Center Point last summer, and we're looking forward to being able to have one over in the Alton Road area. This Friday evening at 7, there's going to be a debriefing session for ARC, and we need somebody representing the media team. Brother Randy Walls needs to be there, Brother Joe Meehan, or some representative of the mechanical team. Brother Cliff, if you could be there for the usher greeters, Sister Barnabas, Shirley Corey, and the promotion team, Linda Pate and Shauna Tyus, Sister Vita for decorations, Brother Mike Biscotta for the baptismal, Charlotte Fox for the prayer team. And if you need to be there and we don't have your name on this list, then be there, because we need to talk about, while it's fresh in our mind, talk about what we did for ARC, how it worked, and how we can do things more efficiently or do things better for next year. Because next year we're expecting a lot of company, and we're expecting a lot of action. It's going to be a bigger process, and we need to be ready for that. Well, praise the Lord. Is this too much business? Got to do it. Got to take care of it. This is the business of the kingdom. We would just give you a handout at the door, but it's better for us to talk about it, because if we have a meeting, we want you there. Now, be in prayer if you would. We're going to start advertising for Brother Tim King and the family seminar the second full week of August. That'll be August 11th and 12th. He'll also be with us the following Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And he is the author of the book, Helping Your Children or Your Child Become. And you want to invite your friends and family. And maybe we'll have some flyers out for this weekend for that. And the following weekend, Brother Larry Booker is going to be in the house. And we're going to have church and hear an awesome, awesome word in the services. Now, we want to be in prayer. I want all of our junior quizzers and their coaches to come up front, please. Our junior quizzers and their coaches. Our junior quizzer and their coaches. We actually have more than one. But he's standing in and representing them all tonight. Well, our junior quizzers took second in the district, and they're going to Branson, Missouri, Sunday. And I want you to just take a second, extend your hand toward them, and pray God's blessing and strength on them as they travel and as they compete in the Word of God with their peers from across the country. Pray God's blessing on them. Mighty God, just touch these children, touch the coaches, bless the trip, give them health and strength in their bodies. Help them, oh God, to have a wonderful time handling the Word of God and being a part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth, the church of the living God. Praise God. Praise God. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to take a few moments, and I don't want to give you a whiplash, but I want to take just a couple of moments because we're having the beginning of a war over in the Middle East right now. And the Iranians and the Hezbollah have said they don't mind at all starting World War III. They have no idea what they're saying. But we are there, folks. Now, let me try to set, I want to set context here. And I'm not telling you that this flare-up is the flare-up. But some flare-up is going to be the flare-up. You know? And World War I and World War II begin with just little flashes. And then people begin to pile on. And before you know it, you got a pretty good fight going on. Except the fights in these last days. They're going to open the door and pave the way for the sixth Trump and for the Battle of Armageddon. Because that's the neighborhood of prophecy that we are living in tonight. Praise God. And God gives us signs along the way. And Israel in the land is a sign to all the Gentile nations that it's time to get on board the kingdom of God and get your house in order. Because the time of the Gentiles is almost closed. The time of the Gentiles is the era we're living in right now, the church age. It's been going on for almost 2,000 years, right at 2,000 years, and it's over for all intents and purposes. So if you're cold in your spirit or you're half backslidden, a foot in then a foot out, you better get in all the way in, because we're living at that place on the timeline of God. Praise God. Now, first, And help me, Brother Peter, or whoever's there. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11 and start in verse 10. And I want to set a context for where we are prophetically right now. Isaiah 11, verse 10. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Somebody tell me his name. Jesus, he is the root and the offspring of David. And Jesse is David's daddy. This God's prophecy is so powerfully specific, and he crunches so much information into one little passage. In that day, there's going to be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign or a signal of the people, and to it the Gentiles shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I can't expand this and teach you the whole thing. If you don't understand this, you need a Bible study. But I'll tell you, the root of Jesse is Jesus. He is a sign to all the people. And unto him today the Gentiles are seeking. And if you're a Gentile in the house and you're seeking Jesus Christ, praise him a little bit. Well, praise the Lord. And if you think his rest is glorious, Go ahead and praise him a little bit. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And the rest that is spoken of here is the Holy Ghost experience. And he said, it'll come to pass in that day, or the dispensation of Jesus Christ, that the Lord will set his hand again the second time, everybody say the second time, to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, from the isles of the sea. Say they're scattered everywhere. And the neat thing about Isaiah is he's writing before they ever get scattered the first time. Isn't that neat how God does that? God backs off and says, now watch, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not preaching yet, but I appreciate the word. God says, take a look at this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do it. And he says, I'm going to scatter them twice all over the world. And in the time of the Gentiles, or in the church age, I'm going to gather them back the second time. This is going to happen. The first time they go into captivity in Babylon, they're there for 70 years, and God brings them back in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra and Zerubbabel, those biblical characters that you've read about and you know about. The second time is after the time of Jesus Christ, and the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, and we'll read about that in just a moment. But he's gathered them back today. Israel is back in the land. Everybody say, Israel is in the land. Now, you know they weren't there for 2,000 years. And do you know it's impossible for them to be there? No nation, no culture has ever experienced anything like this before. Because when you get taken into captivity and when you get scattered all over the earth, in just a couple of generations, you get assimilated into the cultures and you disappear. And you are nothing but a memory, but not those Jews. Those Jews have rocked on, backslidden, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. They stayed Jews. God kept them and brought them back in 1948 to the land that they're in tonight. And I'll tell you, no power on heaven or earth can move them off of that little sliver of land, because God has brought them back, and they're there to fulfill the promise of God and the word of God. And he shall set up, in verse 12, an ensign, or a sign, for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isn't it amazing that Isaiah would say, I'm going to scatter these Jews all over the earth. And they were scattered before modern travel. They got scattered early on, before being scattered was popular. God scattered them all over the earth, and now he's gathered them back the second time. Take a look at Luke chapter 21. In verse 24, in this 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus is answering three questions for his disciples. They're walking in the street of Jerusalem, and the apostles are amazed by the beauty and the power of the buildings around them. And he said, not one of these stones is going to be left on another. He said, this whole place is coming down. And they said, Lord, what will be the sign of these things? What's the sign of the end of the world? And what's the sign of your coming? They asked those three questions. And as you read this chapter, and also chapter 24 in Matthew, you get the answer to those three questions. But pertinent to what we're talking about tonight, verse 24, everyone say, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captives into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until. That means it's not always going to be this way. That means Jerusalem's going to be destroyed until. The Jews are going to be scattered until. And this is not as far back as Isaiah, but this is 2,000 years before the thing actually comes to pass where he gathers them back. So this is powerful business here. He said, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In 70 AD, some 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Roman general Titus came down into Jerusalem, overthrew, destroyed the temple, killed thousands and thousands of Jews, and struck them such a blow that they were scattered all over the world. And from that moment on, Jerusalem was controlled by Gentile powers until 1948. And in 1948, I guess an angel sounded a trump in the heavens. And Jews from all over the world, survivors of the Holocaust, survivors of the gulags in Russia, American Jews and South American Jews and Mexican Jews and Polish Jews and Czech Jews and Jews from all over the world began to make their way back to that little tiny sliver of land we know as Israel. Now, that's powerful because God said it and now he's done it. There's no book in any of the major religions like this book. There's nothing in Buddhism. There's nothing among the Shintos. There's nothing in Taoism. There's nothing in the world like what we just handled here. And it is a sign unto the whole world. What is it a sign of? That the rest of this book is true. What's it a sign of? That the other promises are going to come to pass, like where he says he's going to split the eastern sky and return for his church, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And this is an amazing and a phenomenal book, and the prophecy is what nails it down into a place where you can engage God and an intelligent faith. This is so absolutely, absolutely powerful. Now, a couple of other things that are pertinent to where we are right now. Now, that little word until there in verse 24 means that when the Jews come back, the time of the Gentiles is done. They're back. And we're done. We're at the end of the time of the Gentiles. You need to have your house in order. You need to have your life in order. One of the greatest times of trouble the world has ever seen is about to break loose on this world. How far reaching will it be? Well, we don't know exactly, but let's look at a couple of things here. Let's look at the sixth trump. We're getting very, very close to the sixth trump right now. Revelation chapter 9 and beginning in verse 13. What I want to talk to you about here is that the elements and components of prophetic construct for our day are in place. Israel's in the land. This thing's coming down. This thing's happening. Now, let's look at this sixth angel or this sixth trump. And don't be afraid of the book of Revelation. We will... We'll get back to it in a couple of years when we get through the rest of the Bible. But here in the last couple of years, we finished going through the Bible once, and we did quite a lengthy series on the book of Revelation, and it's back there in the tape room somewhere, so you could pick it up if you wanted. Revelation 9 and verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns before the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed and were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year to slay the third part of men. Don't you ever think that what's happening in our world right now is being controlled by men. Men think that they are in control, but they're either serving God or they're serving hell, and they're being driven by spiritual winds and forces they have no idea about. You better be right with God. This is going to be a day of tremendous spiritual delusion. And the four angels were loosed, and they're going to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. Would you say 200 million? Now, this scripture sets the time stamp or construct for us in this discussion. There has never been an army of 200 million in the history of the world until modern day Red China. So this scripture has never taken place yet. This scripture is about to take place. And guess what? There is an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates right now. And it's Chairman Mao's Red Chinese Army. That's incredible. Everybody say, that's incredible. Verse 17, John is explaining what he sees, and I'm not quite sure about that, but I understand verse 18 and 19 pretty well. He describes weapon system in verse 17, and he says, by these was the third part of men killed. Now, you bring that up again in a modern-day context, and now you're talking about 2 billion people. What are we in the earth today, right at 6 billion? What's a third of that? 2 billion people. There's never been a war where 2 billion people died. And there's only one type of warfare in our world today that has the capacity to kill 2 billion people. And what would that be? Nuclear war. And what are we talking about every day now with North Korea and Iran and Red China? Talking about nukes. Oh, this is so exciting. I mean, this is, you don't find this exciting? This is exciting. This is like the word of God in our day is happening right out in front of everybody. You got to have your head in a hole not to see what God is doing here. And he says these weapons, he said, are going to kill a third part of men. Well, if this thing has never happened yet, it's going to happen in our day. A third part's going to be 2 billion people. And by these, verse 18, was a third part of men killed by the fire, the smoke, the brimstone. I mean, John's dealing with this, and he's working at a disadvantage because he just sees it, and he's giving you the best shot that he has. He said, these things produce a lot of fire and smoke and brimstone. And dead people everywhere. Verse 19, their power is in their mouth and in their tails. He's trying to describe this for you. For their tails are like serpents, and they have heads, and with them they do hurt. Somebody please tell me, what do we call the payload on a nuclear missile? A warhead, or a multiple warhead. And what does it look like when it takes off and that contrail starts to settle in the atmosphere? Woo! 200 million, they're there. Capacity to kill 2 billion people, it's there. How do they deliver it? What does it look like after it leaves? Where does it carry its payload? Isn't this exciting? Doesn't it make you want to shout? Oh, don't tell me you're afraid of this. Don't tell me you're afraid of this. You need to get up on your roof and draw yourself a bullseye and say, put it right there. Put it right there. Because as soon as this thing breaks, if he comes or if I go, my God, I'm going to blink and I'm going to be stepping into the presence of God. I'm working on this a little bit because I'm already starting to get phone calls. What does this mean? What's happening? What's going on here? It's just more of this biblical thing coming to pass in our day. But I want to show people when they begin to ask, I want to show them, we are there, Mac. We're standing right there. There has never been a day when Israel was scattered twice and regathered. We're there. There's never been an army of 200 million. We're there. There's never been a battle that killed a third part of the population of the earth, but it's going to happen, and it looks a whole lot like what John just described right there. If we went ahead into Revelation 13, we could talk about a mark on the back of your right hand or on your forehead, but all you got to do is go home tonight and pull up Verichip or Digital Angel or Mondex, and you're going to find that technology is right there, and it's ready for you. You can order your own chip right now. And get one for your puppy dog, too. And any livestock that you have. Isn't that amazing? There's never been a system in the earth where they could number every man, woman, and child, and they couldn't buy or sell. Not like this. How absolutely awesome. How absolutely awesome is that? If we were to read in Ezekiel chapter 38 tonight, and I had planned to do that, but I'm out of time. I'm eating up Brother John's time for his growth class. No, I'm not. But in Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 38, you've got a multinational group coming down into Israel, and they are Russia and Persia, which is Iran, and Togarmah, which is Turkey. And if you look at a map, you've got Russia right there at the Caspian Sea, and it touches Iran, and it touches Turkey. And they could come pouring down. And another couple of their partners are Ethiopia, which in your Bible is Cush, and Libya. And those are both pro-Soviet or pro-Russian countries, and they're already lined up just the way the Bible said. Isn't it amazing? Now, if you're thinking, that's a really strange coincidence, you've got grits for brains. How in the world did this guy from 2,000 years ago or from 2,700 years ago tell us the nations that are poised now? And guess who's always there on the other side? When we went into Iraq the first time and started bombing, you know who was there before the bombing started? And our guys that went in as an insurgent group, they had to know how to speak Russian because the Russians were there. Who's given Iran technology and armament and everything they need tonight? Russia, just like the Bible said. This is exciting. These are exciting times. My God, it makes what we're doing just almost unbearable. You just want to grab them and say, don't you know the Lord is coming? Yeah. My God. Sister Bonnie, I see people backsliding, fooling around with the world. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people fooling around with the world? When Israel is in the land, when there's an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates, when the capacity in a nuclear way is there to kill a third of the... It's not a day to go back. I want to tighten up. I want to draw close. When God says jump, I want to say how high. When he says go, I want to say how far. When he says move, I want to say how fast. My God, I want to be exactly right in the vortex of the will of God. And you got to get on the winning side of this. It's not just about survival. I'm excited about the revival that's about to break out. Because he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Somebody say all flesh. We're about to be standing in the middle of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that the world has ever seen. Right now, there's more people in the world talking in tongues than ever before. My God. I just wanted to deal with that just a little bit. And now we're going to move on to our regular scheduled broadcasting. Let's stand together. We're going to worship the Lord with our giving tonight. We'd ask that you'd give us unto the Lord. Mighty God, bless every household, every family. Help us to serve you well and please you. Bless.